scripture today is from the second letter to Timothy, the second chapter. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this, and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good, but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. And the gospel reading is from Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, and he answered, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For in fact, the kingdom of God is among you." The word of the Lord.
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you, Teresa. Been reading a little bit of G.K. Chesterton lately. Enormous man, a great writer. He was the originator of the Father Brown series of mysteries. Around the turn of the previous century, born in 1874, died in like 1936. 6'4", 290 pounds. Big guy, in an era when if you were 6 feet tall, you were a giant. Big guy, smart guy, funny guy. He was friends with George Bernard Shaw, who was very skinny, and he once said to George Bernard Shaw, "By the looks of you, England would be in a famine." And George Bernard Shaw said back to him, "And by the looks of you, you caused it." The First World War came, and for those of us who lived through a portion of the bloodiest century in human history, we might forget the shock of the First World War, the first quote-unquote Great War, where so many were killed, so much devastation, the First World War. During that war, he would have been about 40 years old, so he did not serve, and a woman approached him one day and said to him, "Mr. Chesterton, why aren't you at the front?" And he said, "Madam, if you walk around to the other side of me, you will see that I am." That's how big he was. When the war ended and all of Europe was in shock, the Times of London wrote to several of the leading thinkers of the day and asked them to send in essays answering the question, "What is wrong with our world?" That was a question based in the despair and darkness of trench warfare and millions upon millions of dead, for what reason no one could quite fathom. And so they sent out this letter to the leading minds, so of course it went to G.K. Chesterton. "Dear Mr. Chesterton, What is wrong with our world? This is the sum total of his reply to the London Times. Dear sirs, I am. Sincerely, G.K. Chesterton. I am what's wrong with the world. He was a devout Christian and a deep, deep believer that before you could change anything in the world, you first had to absorb Christ into yourself. You first had to change your own heart in order to be any good to anyone else. He was a firm believer that the kingdom of God started within ourselves. Now, this was the argument that Jesus made. It's verbatim what Jesus said as he spoke to the Pharisees. The Pharisees, the scribes, the people of the temple were all looking for this kingdom to begin. The kingdom that would bring back the throne of David and once again the Jews would have a popular leader and they would have a certain amount of autonomy and they could live in a godly way. At last they could have a godly nation again. And what Jesus said to them, his words were, the kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is or there it is, for in fact, the kingdom of God is among you. What Jesus was saying to them, in fact, was, you are not ready to have a godly nation until you yourself are godly. That's where it begins. You don't wait for your leadership to change and then become all moral and ethical. That's in reverse. What has to happen first is a change in your own heart. Each one of us needs to, in our own heart, accept God. Accept the path. Look at those 10 lepers that he cleansed. Calling from a distance because they're lepers and they're not allowed to get close. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And he just says to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And the next line is very important. It says, and as they went, they were made clean. He didn't go over and touch each of them. In this miracle. He does it other times. He's not afraid to touch a leper. He does it many times. But this time he doesn't do that. He just tells them, turn around, go to the temple, and you'll be made clean. Now, they're lepers. They're not allowed in the temple. They're dirty. One of them is a Samaritan who has no business going to the temple anyway. It's a rival tribe. He would not be welcome at the temple at all. But all 10 of them turn and go, lepers though they are, outcast though they are, they still turn and go. And that is their act of faith. They turn and they move toward where Jesus points. And it says in our scripture, on the way, they were made clean. On the way. One of them turns around and comes back. He still wasn't going to be allowed in the temple. He's a Samaritan. They don't say that, but it's true. So he comes back and praises Jesus. But the point is, they were healed from within. Jesus appealed to their hearts. Now, a leper in those days was something of despair. It could be any number of skin disease or ailments. But a leper had to call out his or her disease or illness, and everyone would avoid that leper. Everybody would avoid him. So, isolated, lonely, in total despair, every bit of standing and power having been stripped by them, or so they thought. But the power of healing in this case was worked by Jesus on what they already had inside them, a certain faith in him. And so he tells them, turn and walk down this path. And in the act of turning and walking down the path, they prove their faith, and their healing comes about. The kingdom of God is among you, he said. He's saying to all who he preaches to, look, this is already ready to happen. You already carry the seeds of a new earth. You already carry within you the ability to create a new society, to create a new and blessed and joyful place. You already have it within you to have union with God and blessing. All that it takes is to turn and follow this path. I mentioned to the kids about when I was a kid and wearing that path in the front yards going from the gas station down to the Belchers. It didn't go on to Palmer's Tavern, oddly enough. It stopped well short of there. Popsicles were more important than Bud Longnecks at that age. And I remember the first time when I came back to town, the first time I had a reason to go down to that farm down there, and much to my delight, I found that path, that well-worn path. And the first time I came back into this church, while some things were different, there were paths all over this church that I remembered from my youth, from the ledge outside that we used to creep around. Remember that, Robin? Used to get on that ledge, it was about 40 feet in the air back then, now it's only about 3.5, and you would try to make it all the way around the entire church without falling down. And if you look closely at the bricks, you can probably still see some of the claw marks from kids as they went back and fell. There was a path when there used to be stairs out this front door. I don't remember this, but I've seen pictures of it. There was a path and steps that led all the way down to Route 5 and 20, and a stagecoach stop where people would get off and come up to the church. There used to be a plank path that went down along 5 and 20 when it was a much narrower road. There are paths all over our community, all over our church, all over our faith. And just because we are ignorant of history does not mean we don't live history. And I think about that kingdom of God that has been growing within us since before the days of Jesus, that Jesus called out in us and encouraged in us, that kingdom of God path that he pointed out to us, that he walked with his disciples, and after him, Paul, and people like St. Augustine, and on through the years, Martin Luther, and Martin Luther King, and Billy Graham, and all these people who have walked this path that we try to walk as well. And I think about that path as not just being something they walked externally, but something that was inside them as well. Now, there are two ways to get into a kingdom, right? To have a kingdom, one way is to take it by brute force and power, and the other way is to inherit it. And for several of us here, we have inherited a place in the kingdom of God through the worship of our parents, our grandparents, a neighbor or friend, someone along the line encouraged in us the kingdom of God among us and within us. Someone along the line woke us up to it. Or maybe no one has awakened you to that yet. Maybe you still have ahead of you that delightful day when something will suddenly click and you'll realize, oh, that's what Jesus is getting on about. That's what this is about. And God bless you if that day hasn't come yet. It's a great day when it does come. But for most of us sitting here today as I preach to the choir, most of us have been pointed along that path and have seen people walking it through their lives. And I think back on several of the heroes of my faith and the path that they walked. And you know, I can still call to mind what Kay Sharon would say about something, what Bill Walters would say about something, what, gosh, Annie, what your mom would say about something, and I know y'all can too, those people of the faith. You know, and it's not that they are haunting us. It's not that it's a great feat of memory to call that up. It's that they wore a path in our hearts. It's that they wore a path in our lives that we can return to and pick out even as our lives change. Even as new grass is planted and new buildings are built and new things happen in our lives, we can still pick out those paths of the heroes of the faith that we have. And that, to me, is what Jesus is saying when he says the kingdom of God is among you and within you. Jesus is saying, I believe, that he's planted those seeds within us and in each other. And our job is to recognize that the kingdom of God is already here. To recognize there's this path that we walk. And if we will only turn in our faith and begin to walk it, we will be made clean. We will be made whole. The blessings will flow even through the hardship. If we will just accept that path, that worn path, and begin to discern it, and begin to walk it, then indeed we are heirs to that same kingdom. Then indeed God does rule in our lives. And from there, from that point, it was that G.K. Chesterton wrote, when it comes to what's wrong with the world, "Dear sirs, I am." Now the corollary to that is, we can also be what's right with the world. We can turn and follow that path in faith, even though it seems crazy. Turn and follow that path. Restore the kingdom of God in our own hearts. And in so doing, encourage it in our world. And truly, truly make our world a more godly place. Amen.